Welcome to the North Point Community Church podcast. We're so glad that you've chosen to be part of creating a Christ-centered, culture-changing community. For more information on North Point or any of our other ministries, you can visit our website at www.northpoint.ccpeople.com. We hope that you enjoyed this inspiring word from our pastor.
It's a privilege, you know, to serve under Pastor Danny, Pastor Philip, Pastor Destiny. It's just great to be part of this great community here in Shreveport and Bossier, isn't it? And, you know, everywhere, when I used to travel for a couple of years to the United States, and everywhere I went in those 2 years, and I talked about Pastor Danny Duran, everybody knew him. I'm like, you know, Pastor, oh, yeah, we know him. Oh, yeah, we heard about him. Oh, yes, we know this and that. And let me tell you something. Every time somebody talked about him, they say great things about him. And I was so proud of my pastor, you know, and that's one of the reasons why I'm here, because I feel this is the place where God wanted me to be, and with my family as well. If you have your Bibles, please open your Bibles, your iPhones or your iPads, on John chapter 11, verse 38. John chapter 11, verse 38. And, you know, I'm a little bit old school. I was raised in the Assemblies of God in El Salvador, and I grew up with, you know, all the AG people around my life. So I'm a little bit, you know, old school. I know I look 20, but I'm almost 40. I'm going to be 40 years old next year. So I try to keep, you know, myself young. But I'm a little bit old school. So some of the things that I'm going to say this morning are not going to be only old school, but I'm going to be things that are in the Word of God that sometimes we forget about those things. John chapter 11, verse 38. John chapter 11, verse 1 to 6. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. So the sisters sent the word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." And when he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death, nor it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So he went immediately where Lazarus was, and he healed him immediately. No, it doesn't say that. Now, listen to this, because this is important. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, and because he loved them, he went far from there, and the Bible said that he stayed 2 more days where he was. Verse 7, and then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." I want to talk for a couple of minutes about this story of the death of Lazarus. See, you got to understand this morning that Martha, Mary, and Lazarus were important people to Jesus. They were their friends. That house in Bethany, it was the house where Jesus used to go all the time when he was around Bethany. These were his family. These were people that he loved with all his heart. So Mary and Martha, when they saw that their brother was sick, they said, "Well, you know, don't worry about it. Let's don't call any doctors. Let's just call Jesus, because he knows us. And he will come and heal our brother. And he will do a miracle, and people will see the signs and the wonders that Jesus is able to do." So they told one of the, you know, people who was around them, they said, you know, go and tell Jesus that the one he loves is sick. And this person, you know, run with the word. I can see the picture this morning of this person, you know, running where Jesus was and, you know, coming where he was maybe teaching or doing something else and came to the Lord and say, Jesus, I need to talk to you. I need to tell you something. And Jesus was like, well, give me just, you know, a couple of minutes. I'm going to finish. No. You don't understand. It's Lazarus. It's the one you love. Is the one you care about. It's your friend. And this person comes to Jesus and says, you know what? Lazarus is sick. And you know, when this person came to Jesus, we don't know if it was a man or a woman, when he gave that word or she gave that word to Jesus, Lazarus was already dead. And Jesus says, I'm going to stay here for another 2 days. See, I don't understand that. I don't understand why, if Jesus loved so much Lazarus, loved so much Martha, and loved so much Mary, why he didn't go immediately to where he was and just heal him and just make a miracle for him. Have you ever felt like that before? Have you ever felt like you come to church, you've done everything right, but then you're going through a bad time in your life. And then you're facing trials. And then you're facing some things that you don't understand why you're going through that. And you know why you're going through that? Because God loves you. And this is what I have a little problem about the new generation of Christianity, if we can say it like that. And please fill my heart this morning. I'm not here to criticize. I'm not here to say something wrong about somebody unless God tells me to do it, unless the Holy Spirit tells me to do it. But here is where I have a problem with the new Christianity. And not only here, but I'm going to speak in my country because that's the country I know. I grew up there. You know, now Christianity is all about skinny jeans and big glasses. If you wear skinny jeans and big glasses, you're a man of God. If you're in a church that have great lights and great screens, you're in the right church. But Christianity is more than skinny jeans. Christianity is more than something like that. It's more than clothes, and it's more than a culture, and it's more than something that men can teach. Christianity is not easy. And that's why people come to our churches. I'm talking about my church, not this church. And because we preach about, you know, come to God and God is going to give you a new car, a new house. And then when they face trials and they face trouble in church, they leave the church. Because they heard another message. But they never thought they were going to get into so many problems and troubles. And that's what Jesus did with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. By the way, I love skinny jeans. Just, you know, to say that. I love them. I can wear them. I don't care. But see, everything that was happening, it was to glorify God. It was to glorify the Son of God. And that's why we sometimes don't understand, you know, that all the trials, all the circumstances we go through our Christian life are only circumstances that are going to glorify our Lord Jesus Christ. So I don't know how you came this morning to church. Maybe you're going through one of the biggest issues in your life right now in this building. You're facing, you know, a big, big trial. You're facing something that you never imagined you were going to face. Let me tell you something. God is going to do something for you. God is going to come on His time. He will do something. But you got to be patient because it's according to His will and His time and for His glory. And sometimes we don't understand that. I remember a couple of months ago, I went to my country, El Salvador, and I was preaching our local church. We have like 3,000 people in our church. And I remember, you know, every time I go to my country and I preach, we make altar calls, like the old school, you know, people come, we pray for them, lay hands. People, you know, are dancing and going crazy in the spirit. And some of them are in the flesh and the other ones are in the spirit, but that's okay. You know, it's a big movement in the altar. And I remember I was praying for everybody, and I pray for everybody who comes to the altar. And when I was leaving the church, there were a couple sitting in the first rows of the church, and they were crying, and they said, "Pastor, we're waiting for you." I said, "What's going on?" They said, "Well, you know what, my wife is sick, and we've been married for so many years, and we want to have a baby, and we don't understand why God never gave us that desire in our hearts." And I said, "Well, do you believe that God can do it?" They say, "Yes, we believe that God can do it." I said, "Do you believe that God is willing to do it right now, right here?" They say, "Yes, we believe that. But we've been asking him for so many years that we don't know if it's his will." I said, "Well, let's trust God. And I'm going to give you a prophetic word." I felt that from my spirit. I said, "Next time I come to El Salvador, you'll be pregnant." They said, "Are you sure?" I said, "Yes, you'll have a baby." We prayed, and I went like a month ago with Pastor Rick Berlin. He went with me, preached in my church again. And when the service was over, there were a couple, same couple, I didn't remember about them. And they came, you know, and she was pregnant. And she said, "Pastor, I'm pregnant. I'm going to have this baby in 2 more months. Remember you told me next time you'll be here, I will be pregnant?" I said, "Yes. God did it for his glory." Yes, glory to God. And what I want to tell you is why God allowed all those years for them to go through that circumstance, you know, praying for that baby and asking for that baby. I don't know why. That's one of the first questions that I'm going to make God, you know, when I get to heaven. God, why this? Why that? Why? Because I'm the kind of person that who wants to know why for everything. I don't know about you, but that's me. Why, Lord? Why? And I can see Mary and Martha asking everybody why Jesus didn't want to come to see our brother. Why Jesus doesn't heal him. Why Jesus is not paying attention to our prayer, to our request. Why, and why? John says, you know, that now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Therefore, because he loved them, he stayed 2 days longer where he was. That is the tough things to handle when you have gone to God for help, which you feel you desperately need. Your heart is breaking over something and you need God to intervene, but nothing happens. The heavens are silent. There is no word at all. That is what is tough. Has that ever happened to you? It has happened to me several times. But you know, loneliness, loss, pain, sorrow, these are just disciplines. These are God's gift to drive us to his very heart, to increase our capacity for him. You want to know God? Welcome to suffering. You want to know what the presence of God means? You know, through trials, that's where you know the glory of God. Through circumstances, trial, financial situations, issues that you gotta face. Not about a happy life. There is something. And you can read your Bible. And I'm not someone that, oh, we need to suffer, you know. We need to go out and suffer for God. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is if you want to have a relationship with God, and you want to know what his glory means, you prepare yourself, because you're going to go through that, because that's the way life is. It's just life. That's how God prepared, you know, life for us. And if you want to feel the glory and you want to have the presence of God in your life, you're going to have to go through some suffering. Because there is something, there is some theology about knowing God and suffering. And our best example is our Lord Jesus Christ. God gave his only son to come to this earth to die for you and for me. The best he had, he said, I'm going to give it for you. I'm going to sacrifice. And I'm going to see my son in that cross. And I'm going to suffer. It's going to hurt. It's not going to be easy. But after that, he's going to give glory to my name. And through that cross, all my people, everybody who wants to accept that cross can come and have a relationship with me and have eternal life. Sometimes we preach and we say, you know, salvation is free. It's not free. It costs blood. It costs suffering. Jesus suffered in the cross for my sins. See, when you say to somebody that something is free, they don't care about it. Oh, it's free. I can take it and I can have it anytime I want because it's free. Salvation is not free. Jesus paid for you and for me. We don't have to pay anymore, but he already paid for each one of us. So all these, you know, emotions that were going in Martha and Mary's heart, you know, they didn't understand why Jesus was not there for them when they needed him. And verse 17 in the same chapter says that on his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brothers. Now, here's the picture. You know, Jesus comes to their house. Jesus comes to Bethany, and there is Martha and Mary, and there is a lot of Jews around the house just crying for Lazarus because of their loss. But you know what? I believe that there were a lot of people in that house and in that city just waiting to see if Jesus was going to do something for them. Ah, you were talking too much about your Jesus. You were talking about his power. You were talking about the signs and wonders that he was making all around Jerusalem and all the cities. And now your brother is dead. Have you ever felt that way? Everybody's getting miracles. Everybody's getting everything they ask for. But you're going through the hardest time of your life. You're helping other people. You're praying for healing. Everybody heals. And you have your relatives in your house that are going to die because they're sick. Have you ever been through that? I've been through that. I told Pastor Rick, you know, when we were in El Salvador a month ago, I said, Pastor, this morning God is going to make miracles in these people's life. And God was making miracles. And I have my daddy. He's been with a stroke in a bed for 4 years. And when I finish the service and I see God doing miracles, I got to go back to my mom's house and pray for my dad. And nothing happens. That's Christian life. Because it's not about me, but it's all about him. It's for his glory. It's in his time. It's whatever he says that it is. So there were a lot of people in their house. There were everybody, you know, just waiting. What's going to happen? They didn't know what's going to happen. They were just expecting some things. And Mary, you know, came to Jesus, and Martha came to Jesus, and both of them, if you read the whole verse, you're going to find that they both asked and told Jesus, if you would be here, Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Jesus, if you had been here for this situation, if you Would it be here for this and that? And sometimes we come with these prayers to God. But God has something better for us. Jesus wanted to show them what he's capable to do. And that's what he wants to show you this morning, what he's capable to do. He is thinking more and best things for you and I that we can never imagine. Because remember, when we start the story, it says that he loved Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. And he loves you. You are his sons and his daughters. He loves you with all his heart. He cares about you. He has a plan and a purpose for each one of you. So it doesn't matter what you're facing this morning, God still loves you. And he still will come for you. And he will help you. And he will do what he promised that he was going to do. But it's in his time. And it's for his glory. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Do you believe this morning that he is the resurrection? Do you believe this morning that he has all the power? Do you believe this morning that he is your provider? Do you believe this morning that he is your healer? Do you believe this morning that he is your peace, your savior, that he has all the power, that he is holy, that he is sufficient for me? Do you believe that this morning? Then he can resurrect your Lazarus. Then he can make a miracle in your life. And he is willing. And he wants to do it. Because he loves you. And he has a plan for your life. Do you believe that he's merciful? That he is my banner? That he is full of grace? That he is our comforter? That he is our intercessor? If you believe that, he is willing. And he wants to do it. The only thing that Jesus was doing with Martha and Mary and Lazarus was showing them what it's about to really love God. Because it's so easy to love God when in the abundance, you know. Oh, it's so good. So good to love God when I'm in Destin, Florida with my family on vacation. At 8 a.m. in the morning in front of the ocean. Just, oh, thank you, Jesus. This is so good. It's so easy. And we should do that. But there's another thing to worship God and praise God when you're going through a circumstance that Martha and Mary were facing. You know, I was reading about this author, and I don't know if you heard about him, Bob Sorge. And you know, Bob Sorge was a pastor and a worship leader. And 12 years ago, he had a surgery in his throat. And something happened in the surgery, and he lost his voice. He's a pastor and a worship leader. And he's able only to speak for 1 hour a day. For 12 years now. And he said that he's going to take that hour to only preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. But this is the greater things about Bob Sorge. Is that, you know, he write books now. And he said, you know, I've been heard more in these last 12 years when I can't speak than when I used to speak. Because my books are going everywhere around the world. And he speaks a lot about intimacy with God. Because he can speak with nobody, so he has to go to his prayer closet and have, you know, that conversation with God without opening his mouth. And he's a man of God. You gotta Google his name and listen to his sermons, and you're gonna hear he only whispers. And he writes these amazing books, and he said, you know what? I don't understand why God allow this for me to happen, but I can tell you something. I know that what I'm doing, I'm doing it for his glory. I'm doing it because he has a purpose for my life. And I'm doing it because I know he loves me. And at the end, even if it's not on this earth, I'm going to go with him and I'm going to have eternal life and I'm going to be with him for the rest of eternity. So that's what it really matters. He understands that through suffering, God is using him in a mighty way. You know about Job, that man in the Bible. You know, the Bible said that Job was a great man. He was one of the best men in the whole Bible. The Bible says about Job that he was blameless, a man of complete integrity. He feared God and stayed away from evil. And you know what happened to Job? And it was for God's glory. And God gave him double and triple than what he had before. So if you're facing a trial this morning, Phil, can you help me please? And if you're facing some situations that you don't understand this morning, I want to tell you something. God is in control. God is in control. He knows his time. He knows his purpose. He knows the plans that he has for each one of you. So the only thing you can do this morning is worship him. The only thing you can do this morning is say, God, I don't understand. I don't know why, but I'm going to take this trial as the time for me to worship you and to love you more than ever before. And you know what? When you go through that and when you start knowing God in a deeper way, it won't matter if you go and you leave that situation. Because through that, you knew more about our God and our Savior. So, like Bob Sorge now says, you know, I don't care if I get healed. I don't care anymore. I just know that through this, I know God. I know he's real. I know he speaks to me every morning when I wake up. I know the Holy Spirit is real. Will you stand with me, please, this morning?